The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
From a series called Tomorrow, and I was focused. I had my thought. I mean, I was ready to preach, and the Lord just kind of said, "Before you just keep everybody hyped, now what we're gonna do is we're gonna make sure that they don't miss the season." Okay, so here's what I'm saying. If you're like me, sometimes I love being in church. I love hearing God's word, and I can leave motivated, but not changed. That make any sense? Like, I can go, oh my goodness, dude, or man, she preached, and then I can look forward to the next week hoping that it's the same week as it was before, and then if it's not, I go, oh, well, that may not be the place for me. The reason why is because it motivated me, but I didn't allow it to change me. Now here's the thing, what I say is not going to change you. God's power will. Are you with me? So there is something that happens in the middle that I felt like the Lord wanted me to focus on today. And I'll tell you, here, I'm going to read you a scripture verse, but we're not going to stay there. Okay? Because I want to give you the context of why I'm jumping to a totally different spot. Is that all right? And I probably won't stay on the stage. I'm just doing that for people who can't see me because, as I said last week, I am a little vertically challenged with me, I'm sure. Okay? Here's what the Bible says in Joshua, and it's not up on the screen. I did it on purpose because this is not where I'm going to stand, but I want you to hear the text, and then I'm going to explain it. Is that okay? Okay. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 says this. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does the Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now, and I'm going to bounce back up on the stage, but I feel like preaching this morning, so I need to let a little bit of energy out. I was reading this text because over the last few weeks we were talking about a series called Tomorrow and going after what God called us to. We said we're going to leave where we are because God has a place for us. And last week we preached that God has it for us. We're going to go for it. He's in front of us. He's in the middle. He's behind. And I said this week I'm going to talk about Joshua going around the walls of Jericho. Man, I had a great message to just leave you amped, animated, busting through something, breaking it, and y'all paying for it because you would have broke it in here because we would have just been so crazy. But as I was reading the text, because I was going to start in Joshua chapter 5, and I got to this place and I realized that Joshua had an encounter with God. I'm good with the light. He has an encounter with God, but it comes in a way that he wasn't anticipating. It says that he's on the verge of crossing into what God promised him, Jericho, the very first place. And before he gets there, he wakes up one morning, he starts walking, and he sees this dude with a drawn sword. And he asked him, "Are you for me or are you against me?" The guy looks at him and says, "Neither." I love that. He didn't even answer. He's like, "Neither." It's either yes or no. Yeah. He says, "Neither." He says, "I am actually the commander of the Lord's army," which is crazy to me, that God would pull his leader for the fight that he's fighting on your behalf to get your attention. He says, "Watch now, so I can tell you why I'm where I am." So he says, "I'm not for you." He says, and then he looks at him and says, "Oh, this is different." He says, "Since you're here, what does the Lord have to say to me?" I realize that this is a different moment. I'm running. I'm ready to go. I'm willing to fight you. But you're telling me that God sent you on purpose. What does God want to say? He says very little. Initially, he says, "Take off your sandals." For the place where you are is holy. That leads me to believe that wherever God is and I am, it can become the holy place. It's different than me doing something wrong and God just happening to be there. When God shows up and he grabs my attention, he says, right here, it's holy. Now watch. So I'm ready to preach the message the other day, and the Lord says, Damon, if everyone's running, do they know when I'm talking? Will they know if I'm for them or against them? And will they even ask? Damon, will they give me time to respond? And so this morning, I just wanted to preach on this subject, since he decided to take me in a different direction. I'm going to take y'all in a different direction, too. I want to preach on the subject of frequency. The ability to cut out the noise so that I can really hear what he wants to say. Y'all all right? Okay. So we can be real hyped. I can have dreams. But if I can't hear what he's saying, I'm going to wander. And I'm going to always ask him, are you for me or are you against me? Is this the enemy or is this you, God? Today, my assignment is I'm going to be animated because I'm always animated, but I've got to get something to you. And I've got a lot of information. The reason why is because when you leave here today, we're not going to look forward to just next week's service. God's going to speak to you throughout the week. So you have a worship guide on your seat that will tell you a little bit about our church, but there's also some information on how you can, you know, notes on the back that you can take. There will be a lot of information today. And the reason why is because my assignment is to get you this week hearing God's voice. Okay. Are you with me?
Yes.
So if you will do me the due diligence of going through the scriptures that he's given me, I promise you this week, listen to me, I promise you this week, God will speak to you and you'll know it. Because anytime he messes up my really good hype message, he must have something to say. John chapter 10 says this, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. This is Jesus talking in a parable. He said, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus said, when I'm leading you, you'll know my voice. When I go ahead of you, you'll follow me because you know my voice. He said, now, the way you'll know it's me is that you won't follow somebody else. Are you for me or are you against me? I need to know because I'm about to run through this Jericho thing and I need to know. This morning, it's all about frequency. Jesus says that there's a way that I speak. My sheep know it. Those who don't know me won't know my voice. So the focus of today is just getting to a place where we listen for God's voice in everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. So my goal and my assignment today is to get us to listen to God in everything that we do. I know it's, some stuff is small, some stuff is great, but in everything, I want to know what God has to say. Here's what I realize, and if you read more into Joshua chapter 6, God is very detailed.
Yeah.
God is extremely detailed. What's funny is that he'll give you this big dream. So just put it in my context. Damon, you all are going to pastor a church in Orlando, and there are going to be people whose dreams are going to come alive. Fantastic. It's when I don't spend time with him that I create it. But when I do spend time with him, he creates it. I realize that God is a very detailed God. And so therefore, I must listen to him in everything that I do. See, I discount, this is me, even though I'm a pastor, I discount how much and how often he's really speaking. Y'all all right? I don't know if you've ever done that. You give your life to Jesus and you say, well, I'm there. Or you accomplish the thing and you said, I've done it. And he's like, still talking. And we're going, God, you're not speaking to me. No, no, no. The problem is that it's not that God's not speaking. It's just that you and I have a listening problem. You and I have a listening problem. The reason why is because there's a frequency by which God talks and God speaks. And there's a frequency by which we should listen. But a lot of times we're asking God, are you speaking? And he's like, I'm speaking, but you aren't listening. And so God is always speaking because he's very detailed. He's not going to just tell you to do something and then go silent. No. Joshua is on the verge, and right before he's going to Jericho, he brings the commander of his army to tell him, where you are is hope. Let's talk. And if Joshua doesn't even pay attention, he's willing to fight this dude, and he just goes, forget about you, fine, you're not important. And he just goes, all right, now guys, it's time to go. He would have missed what God wanted to say. And so you and I need to begin to establish the fact that we need to listen to God in everything, because God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a listening problem. Verse 8, he says this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 8, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now let me give you the context. In Luke chapter 8, 5 through 8, he says this. A farmer went out to sow a seed, and he was scattering the seed, and some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. It was stolen. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. They were competing elements. It was rocky. It wasn't perfect soil. I don't know, y'all, my wife, if you, last week, I think she said, I'm a gardener, and I plant stuff, and things grow. And so what my wife will, she will get soil, and then she will get, like, compost stuff, and then she'll be like, you want to help me? And I'm like, no, because even though, like, I'm not, like, don't mind getting dirty, it's just the thought of washing my hands with the compost. And so there's soil when it's mixed together, the elements cause things to grow. In this text, he says, now some stuff fall on rocky ground. And when it does, the plants, they grow, but they wither away. The reason why is because there's competing elements. Y'all okay? Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up, and the plants choked. They were smothered out. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. And when he said this, he called out and he says, he who hath an ear, let him hear. See, the seed that was sown was the word of God. Now, we know it as the word of God, but literally in biblical days, it was the actual word of God. It was God speaking. It was God talking. It was God, here's what I want you to do. And so God has given us the word of God, and he says, the word of God on a Sunday morning, you can hear it, it can fall by the wayside, does nothing. You leave excited, there you go. Another one, you'll hear the word, it'll start to grow, sucked away. Another one, we'll hear the word, it'll start growing, you'll be like, yeah! And all of a sudden, the stresses of life will silence it. And then there's others that will hear the word and they'll put it in because they heard it and said, I need to listen to him in everything. Some are motivated, like, yeah. Others are like, I need to listen to him in everything. And so there's just four things that I just want to highlight that will impact our frequency and our ability to hear God. Because over the next few weeks, as we're heading into our launch service, and as you're heading towards your goals and your dreams, we're going to be excited. We're going to build your dreams. We're going to ignite your faith. But man, if we don't establish your ability to hear God, it does absolutely nothing. Here's the first thing that I realize is that when Jesus is talking, and he's talking about the seeds and the seeds going from here to there to here, he's saying there's four things that's going to mess up your frequency. The first thing is pollution. Pollution. I got to look in your heart, and I got to realize why you can't hear me talking. But then you got to look in your heart and realize why you can't hear me talking. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 12. In another verse, it says, the heart path where some seed fell represents the hard hearts of those who hear the word of God, but then the devil comes and steals the words away and prevents people from believing and being saved. There's a pollution inside of your heart, just as Jesus continuing on from Matthew 8, 5 through 8, which I read earlier. He says, now let me break down what I'm trying to say to you. He says, you've got pollution. And the pollution of your heart has a way of removing everything that I'm trying to say to you. But here's the thing. The pollution comes from our behavior sometimes. It comes from the choices that you and I are making. And here's the thing. All of us, we are going to sin. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody's in here is perfect. But it's the sin that we allow to stay. It's the sin that we know we do and we don't want to let go of. That Jesus is like, I'm talking, but you can't hear me. The reason why is because you haven't dealt with that yet. You have, I like to use the phrase, unrepentant sin. Which means, I know I'm doing it, but I go, Lord Jesus, I can't do that no more. I need your help. And that unrepentant sin is the thing that Jesus died for. It's the access that he gave by which he said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, I receive your forgiveness. And the Bible says he forgets it, and he remembers it no more. But you and I, because the hardness of our heart and the sin's enjoyment, we all have those things. Like, I love apple pie. I can eat it every day. I can eat, literally, we did church at the movies. I took home, no lie, a pound of popcorn every single week because it was left over, and I ate it every day. It's good, but it's not healthy. It jacked me up. I don't even want popcorn no more. There are things that we might enjoy, but the enemy enjoys it with you. So because the devil comes and he tries to steal it. But then there are the things that other people try to place on you that you and I allow. It's the words or the hurts of the past that we hold on to, that we will not let go of. It's what they said about you or what they did to you, and you're holding on to it every time you see them. You don't even, you look at them in disgust. And yet we're trying to go, Lord God, give me your purpose. I'm trying to hear you. And he's like, I can't talk to you yet. Because you're still holding on to that. So Jesus looked at him and said, now the enemy, once I throw that seed out and you hear the word of God, he's going to steal it. Because there's pollution in your heart. The question that I have is, would that be you? Are you that person who's going, I can't hear God speaking? Today I'd ask you, is there a little bit of pollution in you? James chapter 1 says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the message God has planted in your hearts. For it is strong enough to save your soul. Jesus has got to be saying the enemy comes, he pollutes you. You can't hear, you can't receive salvation. You can't be broken so that I can fix you back up. James says, hey, get rid of everything that you've been holding on to. The pollution, it's got to go. Once you get that pollution, the word that's bubbling, that God's talking, you'll be able to hear it clearly. Your life will be changed. Here's the second thing that Jesus says. He says, so it falls on the wayside, the path, and he says, the devil comes right away, snatches it. You don't even realize. You leave happy. Hey! You get to the car, you're like, what did? I remember he was preaching about something. He was talking. You remember what he was talking about? Remember that point? I can't even remember, but it was good. It was good. Jesus said that happened by the time you get to the car. The enemy's like, nope, gotcha. The second thing is distractions. He says this. Look, he says, now let me continue to explain what I was talking to you about. You know, the first time you had the path came. The second time now, remember, everything's growing. Everything's growing. It's looking real good, but there's some competing elements. He says this. Look, he says in verse 13, he says, the stony ground represents those who enjoy listening to sermons. I told y'all would hear. Y'all would enjoy it. I told you, I'm teaching today because I want next week we need the equipment. But I'm teaching because I don't want y'all to break them. Remember, I told you that message that I had, went, what? But the Lord said, they need to hear me talking, Daniel. He says, you hear and you enjoy listening to sermons. Oh, man, listen, in my podcast, Dock It on iTunes, I got some of the best preachers in the world. I got some of the best preachers, no lie, they get me amped. But here's what Jesus says. But somehow the message never really gets through to them. It doesn't take root and grow. They know the message is true, or sort of believe it for a while, but when the hot winds of persecution blow, they lose interest. Ouch. So I can be animated, hyped for a few minutes, then the enemy's like, Oh, you letting it start to sink in. I couldn't steal it by the time you got to the car. He says, I'm going to send a little test this time. And when the test comes, you're like, oh, no, God didn't say that to me. God, no, that wasn't meant for me. But the message was good. It lasted a few days, a few weeks. It was hype. You're like, you know what? The doctor's report, God's going to heal me. How? You get to the doctor's report, they're like, we need to take 3 more tests. You're like, maybe it's not. Maybe God didn't mean it. Maybe God didn't mean it. Or, how about this one? This used to happen to me. I go in for the job interview, they're like, we like you. We're going to call you on Friday. Friday come, they're like, crickets. Maybe that job ain't for me. I don't even know why I reached out and even tried to apply. The enemy's like, you believe the message about God advancing you? I'm going to give you 1 week. Because you've been listening throughout the week. Wait until I delay them and make you think God's not going to do it. I'm going to get it. You are. I'm going to get it. The enemy's real crafty. There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God that is all powerful, and an enemy who's small, who thinks he has power, that we really give him the majority power. Because we can't hear. So distractions come in. Here's the thing that I realized, and I don't know about you, my number one distraction is technology. No lie, I was up last night. I didn't order the fight, but I stayed up till midnight trying to find out even if a punch was thrown. No lie. I went to bed, woke up this morning, not thinking about you, thinking about if Conor McGregor pulled an upset. How spiritual is that? The phone was in the living room and I heard it calling me saying, ESPN. I should be praying for you. But ESPN, I needed to know. I needed to know. Anybody else like that?
Yeah.
Were you like, I text her last night and she did not respond. Let me see if she coming to this party or not. Technology has a way. Listen, it's good and it's bad. Right? So for example, now I'm not picking on anybody, trust me, because I'm using an iPad. But I will use this a lot of times as my Bible source until I get pinged and I realize I got an email. And so I can be in my quiet time, and I'd be like, Lord, I just thank you for your word. And he'd be like, why is David School sending me an email today? What? We already paid the YMCA. Why do you? Oh, that's a receipt. And then I'm like, but wait a second. Hold up. What? Nike has a sale that ends today? By noon? Lord. I'm trying to give you your time. Lord, I just love you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I honor you. That's how I repeat myself. That's me. I repeat myself. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I love you. Y'all ever do that when you like reading a book and you repeat the same line? You're distracted. And Jesus says, you're excited. You hear the message. You're trying to do your quiet time, but you're not paying attention to me. And that distraction, really, you ain't even hearing me. You don't know if I'm talking to you. You just read. We can come into church and we can be, like this is me on a Sunday. I can see everything. Like there's stuff that I'm like, okay, we're going to tweak this for next week. We're going to do this next week. Trust me, I see everything. And Tyson, I got up on the front row. She's like, you all right? I was like, I'm fine. I'm good. And she was like, will you not do that and worship the Lord? And I was like, ooh, you're right. Because I was distracted. I know that's real, and I'm right in front of you, but distractions block our ability to hear God. I wonder if the Lord wanted to say something to me during the first 5 minutes when I was thinking about everything that we needed to tweak for next week. I got a sale happening at Nike. Pay attention, and God won't get us the opportunity to speak. Luke 10 says this. It says, here's a great example. Jesus goes over to his friend's house. He's hanging out with Lazarus. Lazarus just hanging out with him. It says, she, Martha, had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with serving too much. See, not everything that we do is going to be bad. Not every distraction is a bad thing. Jesus comes over. Martha wants to make sure that Jesus is taken care of. She's Jesus, relax. You've been praying. You've been doing even multiple services. You're healing everybody. Relax. I'll serve you. Meanwhile, Mary realizes that whenever Jesus is around, he's got something to say. I mean, this is the miracle worker. Let's not just be common with him. Let's also see if I can't hear something I've never heard before. Maybe there's a story that he wants to tell about a miracle that happened over on the other side of town that we haven't seen over here before. So Mary goes and sits at Jesus' feet. Martha looks and goes, why are you the only one sitting there? You see me over here trying to give him some eggs? You know he's been out there all day tired. I'm running back and forth doing the dishes, setting the table. You just sitting down listening to him. Jesus looks at her and says, she's the one that's got it right. You're focusing on all the things that are good, but they're distracting. You didn't even realize that I was in your presence having something to say just to you. I'm in your house. I'm not down the road. This is not some sort of story. I've come to talk to you. Jesus comes to talk to you, but the distractions of life. Oh, here's another one. Oh, this one's a little bit more ouch. This is a little bit more ouch. And if this is your first time in church, I'm going to explain what I mean. If you've been in church for a while, watch out. Watch out. Here's what Jesus says. He says, I also got to deal with your immaturity. I know it didn't look like that in the text. But he says, let me deal with your immaturity as well, because he says, the seed that fell among the weeds stands for those, in verse 14, who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. Ouch. I'm living. I'm going to church. I'm bringing my Bible. I'm coming every week. I'm serving as on the dream team. I'm in a small group. I am doing the Christian thing. I'm looking the part, but I'm not growing because I'm chasing money. I'm chasing my career. I've got the pleasures of my life. I've got my own goals. He's not involved. I'm trying to go up the ladder. I'm doing my own thing. You see me on Sunday. You like they got it together. Yes, I do, and you know it. He's like, but you don't hear me talking. I'm sitting here watching you. You high-fiving, you like, yeah, I got it. Meanwhile, Jesus is like, this is what I got for you. This is what I want to do. I want to do this for you. And you're just like, oh, I got it going on. And you come into church and you're like, yeah. And you go through, man, that was a great message. You know, we're going to study that today. And we're going to do this. And meanwhile, you're like, hey, we got to do this. We got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And he's like, you still don't get it. You're doing all that stuff thinking I'm involved. And I'm absolutely not. He says, I know when others see you, they say, they are a great Christian. Man, they love God. And he's like, y'all are still immature. I'm still maturing. I'm still growing. We all are. But as I was reading this, I was thinking about, I grew up in church all of my life. I grew up, since I was a little boy, I grew up in church. But I didn't start maturing until I was 18. The reason why is because I'd always grew up knowing the God that my parents knew, but I never really had a God encounter where he spoke to me. Y'all okay? And so when I was 18 years old, I'll tell the story a lot. You will definitely hear it again. I was at a Fred Hammond concert. It was a youth event. And I told God this. I said, God, if you're real, I need you to talk to me. There's literally like 1,000 teenagers in this room. I'm tucked in the little corner. I say, God, if you're real, I'm tired of hearing everyone else say that you're talking. I can't hear you. And I'm sitting on the side and I go, God, if you're real, you show me now. I'm not going home until you show me now. And literally within minutes, I felt like this warm embrace, like someone said that they loved me. And he didn't go, Damon, I'm talking to you now. No. But it was different. It was different. Everything around me stopped. It's the craziest thing ever. Like, I was in the middle, and it was almost like I was by myself, and I just felt like the Lord just said, I'm just going to love on you. And it was at that moment where it was the first time I lifted my hands and said, God, I'm going to go after knowing you like never before. See, here's the thing. He's going to be talking. There has to be a moment where we don't play any more games. There has to be a moment where we go all in. There has to be a moment where we say, God, you get everything. Because me being motivated and the enemy taking it by the time I get to the car, I'm tired of that. Me living on a high for a week enjoying your sermons and then all of a sudden just we get smothered away, I'm done. I'm tired of going through life and then life chokes what you promised me. I don't want to deal with the doctor's report and then feel like you're not talking to me. I don't want to deal with marriage problems and feel like you aren't speaking to me. I want to throw in the towel when this stuff happens. I need to get from feeling like you're not for me all the time to a place that no matter what happens, I know that you're for me. I want you to know that I'm not giving up on you. That's maturity. When I know that he's for me, when I know the enemy's going to attack, I'm going to get hit sometimes. But Jesus, I want you to know I am not letting you go. There has to be a time by which my behavior changes, my attitude changes, because I'm all in. In biblical days, they put it like this. If Baal is your God, serve him. If God is your God, serve him. But you can't be in the middle. Jesus said it like this to the churches in Revelation. He said, you are either lukewarm, cold or hot. Lukewarm, I'm spewing you out. Hot or cold. I used to view hot or cold as one or the other. He's like, pick a side. Cold or hot. But lukewarm gets you nowhere. If God is going to be God to you over a Sunday, then we have to let him talk and we have to listen. Are you with me? Right now, many of us in this room ride a roller coaster asking him, are you for me or are you against me? Joshua chapter 3 or chapter 5. Are you for me or are you against me? Can I be honest with you? If we don't have to ask that question, we're mature. Now, we might say, where are you? I ask that a lot. And in my frustration, I might go, are you for me or against me? But my heart says, I know you're for me, I'm just hurt. When I know he's talking and he knows I'm listening, I can be straightforward with him because he knows that I'm maturing. You with me? So the goal of what I'm trying to get to is that we want to listen to God in everything. Because he's talking. He's talking all the time in great detail. That's what I realize. Maybe our distraction, I'll just put a little note down. Maybe our distraction or dissatisfaction, I'm sorry, is not about God, but more about our lack of truly going deeper with him. Maybe the dissatisfaction of our life is not about God so much. Maybe it's just that we are still surface. Maybe we're just doing just enough to get into heaven, but not having heaven here on earth. Like, maybe we're doing just enough to raise our hand and say, let me make sure that I don't go to hell, so I accept you. I'm going to heaven. Whereas he's like, now since you've accepted me, watch heaven hit you. But because we don't listen, we really don't know. And I want you to understand, the reason why the Lord challenged me is because he's challenging me first so that we can challenge you. That's the reason why he didn't have me preaching. Ha! Ho! Ta! Ha! We did that last week. And he's like, now before you do that again, I want you to know that there's some people who can't hear me clearly, Damon. And they leave every single week amped and excited, and they tell people, man, City Place Church, man, they are life-giving. But Damon, they can't hear me talking right now. And to be honest with you, some of you have said, how do we hear God's voice? And so there's these four things that Jesus is like, the frequency is being blocked. I got to deal with this. And once I deal with this, you'll be able to hear me. So that was the maturity. We've got a young lady on our team, Mary. And sorry, Mary, I've got a picture of you. If you can put that up. This is Mary. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, since we, everybody say we, are surrounded by, you don't have to keep reading, just we. I love that, though. Don't you hate that moment where you're like, we, and then kind of fades away. You're like, that was awkward. I was the only one still talking yet. Just we. But I love the unity. The unity commands a blessing. That's what the Bible says. Look, Hebrews 12 says this. It says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down. God, it's time to mature. That's what he said. Especially sin that distracts us. Hey, remember early on? You throw it out there, and all of a sudden, the enemy takes it because of the sin we can't get rid of. He says, we must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus. So now, since I'm getting a little bit older, I realize that there's some things now that hold me down. I used to run and allow them to slow me down, and I'm dragging them. I'm like, what is going on? Come on! Where are you, God? Paul says, or the author of Hebrews says this, he says, listen, you've got enough people around you who have matured and seen God's power that you don't have to do it as an I anymore, but we are surrounded. That's the reason why we keep showing you videos about our small groups coming up. It's because we believe that life change happens in the context of relationships. You'll be able to begin signing up for that next week and get plugged in on September the 10th. That's one of our driving machines here. It's one of the reasons why we feel like we can be all that God's called us to be, is because in our small group setting, I can be real. It just, my wife and I talking, she was able to nudge me this morning saying, don't pay attention to the stuff that, you know, we need to tweak for next week. Just that, boom, in small group settings, you need people to just sit down and say, hey, God's for you. Or, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. That's the sin of yesterday. We won't hear God that way. You need people in your life to tell you the truth. I know it makes us uncomfortable, but we need that. We need that. And so Mary is one of our dream team leaders. She hosts a small group, and she leads our special events area of our church. And Mary moved from North Carolina on faith. She left everything, and she was like, I'm moving because I want to be a part of City Place. And we were like, come on, girl. And so she steps out on faith, and as she starts stepping out on faith, nobody was calling her about a job. So she calls and she talks to us, and I asked her if I can share this, by the way. Otherwise, we don't put people's pictures up. I asked her. And so you know, like, we got you. No, I asked her. She's not surprised. So she started coming. She's like, I know I'm supposed to be there, but I know the Lord told me, but nothing's opening up, but it doesn't seem like it's working out, but she kept saying that. And we would say, did God tell you? Yes. Then let's go. And what we did, we would tell her our story. We moved, and it seemed like nothing was opening. And I said, we were doing the same sort of thing. I said, but today, where we are, is proof that God will be faithful. So she was like, okay. So she'd take two more steps, and she said, I don't know. And we say, no, come on. Hold on to the word longer than by the time you get to your car or after this phone call. Come on. She'd call us 2 weeks later. No. We got 2 weeks this time. We got 2 weeks. Come on. We got 3 weeks. She's like, I'm loading up, but I don't even know what's going to happen. No. Come on. Still packed up the truck. God promised you. Come on. He said it. If he said it to you, he'll be faithful. She's loading up the truck, and we're like, hey, you should call this person. She calls the principal at Odyssey Middle School. By the time she gets off the phone with the principal, the principal has emailed her friends. She's got 9 interviews. She gets off the phone and is like, they already offered me a job. Keep coming. Come on. Keep coming. Now, if you talk to Mary, she's not going to say, well, I moved here, but. She's going to say, I moved here, and the Lord showed up for me. She's going to say, I didn't even really have to interview. I did it on the phone. 9 people offered me a job. I got a chance to pick which one. God is faithful. Yes, he is. Now, as I'm going to the other thing, she was believing the Lord for something else. And she said, I don't know. But I said, come on. Seriously. She said, come on. What did God do for you when you cast off the weight? Since we are surrounded by. Those are the stories you will hear in all the single ladies' small group. I'm doing your Zumba small group. I'll be here every night. As you mature, she might start off like, oh Lord, you're asking me to do this. But she can say, wait a second now. I can call Damon and Taisha. I can call Jerry and Charity. I can talk to Derek and Kiana. Now, since I'm walking through this thing now, we are surrounded by, and I can cast this thing off because I'm not just going to be hyped on a Sunday morning, get to the car, and the enemy steals it. No, I'm not going to be going through live 1 week later, distracted, and say, what? No, the pressures of life going after my career is not going to snatch what God's promised me. So if you are in the middle of something, talk to Mary. You laugh, but I'm serious. So here's the question, then we're getting ready to wrap up. Worship team, you come on. When was the last time you said, God, this next season is yours? When was the last time you went to God and said, God, this next season is yours? The place where you are standing is holy. It's not about you right now, Joshua. This is not about you, Joshua. No, Joshua. Where you are right now, the Lord sent me here. When was the last time you said, God, in this next season, I'm going to give it to you? I know that I have some things on my list, but I'm going to give it to you. Here's the thing. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes. We grow up, we mature when we say, you know what? I ain't got that time to serve. I just can't do that. Or you know what? I got to hurry and get to work. I got to get to. I'm too busy to be in a small group. I just can't. We grow up when we say, you know what? I'm not making any excuses. I'm going to do whatever it takes because I'm going all in. The enemy's not going to block me being able to have God's frequency. Here's the final thing Jesus talks about. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15. He says, the way you're going to hear me consistently is that your heart has to be prepared. I need a prepared heart. He says, but the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people. They listen to God's word. They cling to them and steadily spread them to others who will also believe. See, in this season, it's less about me and it's more about God. See, when I'm preparing to hear God's voice, I go, God, you're speaking to me because it's going to be something that I'm not going to hold on to. I want to be an example because somebody else was where I was. So here's how we're going to prepare to hear God's voice this week. I'm just going to rattle on. The first thing is we need to change our direction. Like I said, it's the unrepentant sin sometimes that gets us. We're going to start with a repentant heart. We're going to change direction. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He's talking. But Lord, I need you to get rid of anything that's going to block your ability to speak and my ability to hear. The second thing is we're going to refocus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're going to refocus. It's less about me. It's less about the issue of my life and more about Jesus. Jesus, I need to see you clearly. And the third thing is that we're going to revive ourselves. Revival hasn't started me. I'm going deeper. I'm not playing with you this time, Jesus. I'm not going to be on the surface, no. If it requires me to pray, I'm going to pray. If it requires me to be in a small group, I'm going to be in a small group. If it requires me serving, if I need to be baptized, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Because this time, I'm going to do whatever it takes to hear you clearly. I'm tired of sitting on the outside wondering if you're talking to me, if you're for me or you're against me. No. Right where he is holy. I'm taking off the dirt on my feet, the issues of my life. It's you and me right here, right now. The author of Psalms 119 says this: plead my cause and redeem me. Forgive me right now and revive me. Change my focus according to what you have to say. See, when you're desperate, you'll go all in. God's voice is clearest when we're in a prepared environment. When you say, God, I'm giving it to you now. I need to hear you. I'm tired of other people hearing it. I'm tired of stories of people saying you spoke to them. What does that even mean? But God, I need to know that you're talking to me. I turn away from things that's been distracting me. I know the things that I do wrong. You know the things I do wrong. I don't want to do it no more, so I'm giving it to you. Jesus, I've been distracted with all sorts of stuff in life, and today I just want to focus on you. Lord, let there be such a fire on the inside of me that it never goes out. Let it go beyond me, to my kids, to my family, because I can't hold on to it anymore. God, I thank you for the stories of somebody else, but let me become the example. Let me be in the crowd when people are going through moments where I've gone through. Let me be one of the witnesses, Lord God, that could cause the weight in other people's lives to fall off. Let me run with others, Lord God, when they want to stop. Let me say, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. God's for you. He's not against you. He's walking with you. Let me be the one. Let me not be on the surface anymore. Let me go deeper to where you are. I'll take off my shoes. I'll do whatever it needs to be done. Nobody else around, but are you talking to me? God, I want to hear you. Remove the distractions. Remove the distractions. Remove the pollution. Remove the pollution. God, it's you and me. No more games. I'm not just coming to church to go to church. I am the church you told me. I am your temple. And Lord, I want to hear you when the pastor's not around. I want to worship you when the singers aren't around. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's you and me. You are my priority. I won't be distracted. You're getting all of me. In times past, you had less of me. But in this moment, I'm preparing for you. I won't be distracted. I won't be denied. Right where you are. Here's what I want you to do.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.